Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, the century man, 100 times a lady, man, or a man, or whatever. John Wayne, here I am. That's right. Back again for another episode of John Wayne Lied to You, but not just another episode. This is the 100th episode of the podcast, and it's weird to say that. I guess it feels cool, but also it feels like all right, you know, we keep going. This is what we do, whether it's 100 or 1 or 5, it doesn't matter. This is just how it should be. So I've given a lot of thought to that, but I am, of course I am here in the Library of Evil, nestled in the east wing of Wayne Manor, here in Houston. H-Town, represent, always, forever. And I love you. But yes, I'm here. I've got some grandpappy medicine. I've got my Topo Chico. Coffee is done for the day. I already had to switch to chug a beer because I'm setting up to do all this. We had an incident where one of the cats ran into the library and just really fucked all my shit up. And just really upset me for a moment. But I stepped back. Reset everything, get myself together, chug a beer, grandpappy, put a big old heaping spoonful of medicine to my lips, and now I am ready to be with you again in the here and now as a non-angry entity. So this is the 100th episode of the show. I've had a lot of thought about it, I guess, you know. I didn't really even start thinking about it till last week when I posted the episode, and I was like, oh, this is the 99th episode. I knew 100 was coming up, but I just wasn't in my mind actively of, like, anything, really. Tuesday at Grown Up Storytime, I had a story in there. I went. It was a great time, as always. Brenda Valdivia was the host, and shouts out Brenda. She also runs the Mockingbird Network here in Houston, where John Wayne Lied to You, the show, is hosted out of. Shouts out, respect. And she made a very nice announcement during the show that my 100th episode was coming out, and that she was very proud of me and all this kind of stuff. And I started thinking, like, man, should I, which I very much appreciated, but I started thinking, like, should I do something? You know, I kind of had a couple ideas. I was, like, vacillating between some things. I thought about, should I do a guest on this episode? I mean, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know I don't have guests on this show. It's just me. The only guests I've had have been my Mazza, shouts out Mom, and Nick P one time after we came back from a convention. But, you know, otherwise it's just, you know, your old pal here, old one gun salute, homie, hanging out, doing it. So I thought, like, well, maybe I should have somebody on. Maybe I should have, an old friend on, and we have a conversation about, you know, tell stories about how we met or what we've done together, like, from their perspective, from my perspective, which is cool, which should still be a very much a possibility of something I do down the road or pepper in every once in a while. And I think I've talked about that before. I thought about just other, you know, family, people like that. Should I bring in this? Should I do multiple kind of interviews with people, or not interviews, but conversations? All of these things were going through my mind as far as, like, what should I do to make this, to celebrate this momentous whatever of reaching 100 episodes of this podcast. And I'll be quite honest with you. I just came to my final decision this morning, Sunday morning, as I'm recording it always, the day before it comes out. After lots of thinking about it, I was like, you know what? Why change it? This is what I've done. This is what's gotten me to 100 episodes. Why put some kind of pomp and circumstance on this? Let's stick with what works, you know. Bringing in other things and ideas, like having people on every once in a while, those are great ideas, but nothing that I've used in the past, none of those things have gotten me to 100 episodes. So why kind of, I thought, why do that as now, especially if I'm trying to force it, or, you know, it's not happening organically. So I was like, you know what? I decided to stick with what I've been doing, because that is how you reach 100 episodes. That's how you reach success in what you're pursuing, is that, you know, that fucking stick-to-itiveness, that consistency, that discipline that creates success, you know, from the hard work. So I was like, well, why am I going to fuck with this now? I don't need to change it. It's gotten 100 episodes so far. Let's just stick with what works. Plus, I thought of the story that I'm going to tell here also has to do with really the kind of things you do as an artist, or, you know, as somebody trying to pursue a certain craft or profession, the things that you do along the way that lead you, that seem awful but necessary, when you realize, as you get to a certain point, you're like, yeah, that's, you know, if I wouldn't, you know, that's why we do it. Or if, you know, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have had the gumption to do this, or why not just quit? Like, those kind of things. So that's all of that I'm going to talk about today. How this kind of work, you know, how the work pays off, and how you do things early that are just awful. And I've talked about some before. But just like you're put in positions where your back's against the wall, and it's like, I don't want to quit. Like, quitting would be the easiest thing to do. But for some reason you don't. And I think the people that do that, there's just something very special about that. So I'm going to tell the story later on. Anyway, got that out of the way. It's been a great week. Thank you again for joining me. Like I said, Grown Up Story Time was this week. It's, if you don't know what that is, it's an awesome, my favorite Houston show that we have. It's a storytelling event where you as a writer or a person who writes something, or anybody, submits a story about something that's happened to them, a creative nonfiction story, and if it's selected, somebody else reads it, which is weird, I know, but that's how it is. And I'll be honest, it's a crapshoot sometimes. So, anyway, but this was a great, it's always good to be a part of it. I love this. I love Grown Up Story Time. It's saved my life. I've said that many times. So I had a good time, as always, hung out, had some good conversations, actually, that, you know, that I might talk about. But, you know, that was good Tuesday. And man, basically the rest of the week, like, dude, day job has been, I don't know, man, barely worked this. I've been to work every day. I went there every day this week, but like, oh, except for Monday when I, oh, fuck, dude, Monday I went for jury duty. God, I talked about that last week. I didn't even give you the update. The update is this: I did not get selected. But it was pretty cool. I went in. My thing was at 10:30, so I was like, that's cool, because sometimes there's some at 8 that you have to go to. So 10:30, not too bad. Show up, I find a really great street parking place downtown that's like a block away from the courthouse. I'm like, awesome. I walk in, you know, I got my Kindle with me. I sit in the room, it gets packed with people, and I got a lot of good reading done, I'll tell you that much. But after I passed in all my, you know, my paperwork, the thing that you have to fill out, your jury summons, I got up and went to the bathroom, and I started Googling things like what happens if you sign in for jury duty and then leave. Things like that, because I was like, man, I don't want to be here. Like, if I can just get out of it right now, that would be so awesome. So I was looking it up, and apparently you can be fined or go to jail for a couple days, whatever. So I was like, all right, I'll go back in. So I went back in, I sat, read for a while more while they fucking get everybody's, it's like they have to repeat the same instructions over and over again. Finally, everyone gets their shit together. We watch a really stupid video about being a juror, and like it's not even instructional. It's more like propaganda. It's just, this is a big part of you and our community and our justice system. And yes, all of this is true, I know. But it's just like the film is just so fucking, I don't know, just hackneyed, pandering. I don't know. I know it's an instruct. I don't know what it is, actually. It was odd. Nonetheless, they start calling groups of numbers because you're assigned a number, and it's like, if you're between this number and this number, go with this bailiff, and this number, you go with this bailiff. So I'm waiting there for a little while. They finally put a group together that I fall between. I head down there, you know. Yes, sir, B, it's 100 episodes. I hear you, buddy. But go downstairs, the basement, and you're waiting in line on this ramp, this dark hallway. They start calling out people from the groups before us, just random names. They're like, number 13, Josh Alavasiga. You know, and somebody walks down like, fuck. So he calls about like 30 people, I think, maybe. And I only know that because he numbered each one of them. He's like, number 25. And then when the bailiff was done with that, he just said, okay, the rest of the day's courts have been canceled, so the rest of you can go home. They canceled everything for the day. And it was like, oh, hell yeah. So you have to tell me twice. I was out of that place in a hurry. So I did not get picked. Again, I've dodged a bullet of civic service. So the rest of the week, I've just been working on my stuff. But like at the day job, like I said, we've had some things break down. It's been really weird. We're trying to move into a facility. I'll keep you posted. Don't know if we're working tomorrow. Can't even tell you that. I know it's a Memorial Day holiday, or today, if you're listening to this on Monday, thank you for your service. Cerberus, you are so excited, dude. I can't tell you how much I really appreciate it. But, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. But I have been utilizing my free time, or any extra time, working on my kind of on my stuff. And, you know, working on writing and my stuff. Like, oh, where are my stuff? Working on my new work in progress that I'm doing, working on journaling and kind of some other stuff. And all to really get ready, not get ready, but the thing I had this weekend that on tap was that Nick P and I were headed to New Orleans, all the Big Easy, together to Nick P, as you know, is a, you know, a videographer that he does excellent work, video and editing and sound wise. He does a lot of the videos that I post. If you see professional looking videos of mine up there, Nick P probably did it. So he was he had a gig to go and video this comedian set in New Orleans at a place called the Always Lounge. And I went with him to help. I ran the second camera, which just consisted of me standing. It was the wide shot, the still, like a to cut back to, and I just had to make sure that when the camera timed out, I hit the record button again so that it came back on. And make sure no one ran into it or unplugged it or anything like that. So that was my only job, but it was a pretty, you know, it was a pretty fun adventure. This guy, the comic we went up to, his name is Jeff D, as he goes by. He's very, very funny. I like stand-up comedy a lot. I know a lot of comics here in Houston. I'm hanging out at the Secret Group a lot. I see comics. So, like, I have a great appreciation and respect for stand-up and the art form and the dedication that it takes to something like that, for it to be successful and to work and be, you know, just such a fine-tuned presentation, I guess, for lack of a better word. Like, I appreciate that so much. And you see it executed well, it's just, it's that much more special, I guess, or more entertaining, or at least important. But this guy, Jeff D, check him out. His website is jeffdcomedy.com. I know his Instagram was about Jeff D, I believe. But very funny. I really enjoyed his set. And as a bonus, now we found out he's coming to the Improv here in Houston this Wednesday. So that would be like, what, 27th, 29th. So if you're in Houston you like good, funny comedy, I guess, come out to the Improv on Wednesday, because Nick P and I will be there as well to that show, to check it out and support. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was one of those trips, just an in and out trip, man. Like, New Orleans is a 6-hour drive from Houston, pretty much no matter how you slice it. You can really come in under 6 if you're just flying and you really don't care. However, it's Memorial Day weekend, so you know the cops are out like crazy. There's more traffic because it's the weekend, so you can't, like, fly super fast as much as you'd like. Whatever, it's a 6-hour drive. So we left in the morning, we headed up there. Fine time. We only got stuck in traffic a couple of times. If you watched, I documented the entire thing on my Instagram story, so you should check it out, or follow my Instagram at John Wayne is Dead. And you probably know all this stuff, but we had some good times. Of course, we kept the car nice and smoky the whole time. We weren't worried about that, apparently. But get there, like I said, everything went off fine. I had a good time hanging out, like, at that place. The Always Lounge was really cool. They have a bunch of different shows there. They have a couple of rooms. This show we were at was in the back theater, and while Nick was setting up, I just sat in the front bar at the bar and talked to the bartender, Jordan. She was very nice. Asked about the kind of shows they had there and all that kind of stuff. They have, like, burlesque, they have comedy, they have some music sometimes, they have all kinds of stuff. Very cool place. So if you're in New Orleans, check out the Always Lounge, like Allways. Very cool time. But I mean, we got there, we did this, and before you knew it was over. The show started at 6 p.m. So it really started like 6:30, right? And when it was over, we just packed everything back in the car and left. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't go to bar or restaurant or anything like that in New Orleans. We just went fucking home. And that may sound weird and also terrible, because it's like 6 hours there and 6 hours back. That doesn't bother me too much. We've been driving a lot lately this past year, and just being on and driving on the road and with bands and stuff, it's like, whatever. It's just how it is. But it was funny, you know, New Orleans is such a destination place. It was funny to me to just, we rode in there, like, did a job and, like, rode right the fuck out, like some kind of, like, professionals in the night, which we are. But, and also, I've been in New Orleans a bunch of times, so it's not like I was, thought I was missing out on anything, or that I, we've got to go get a beignets today. Beignets, I love beignets. No, I don't fucking care. I didn't have to go to Bourbon Street or anything like that. I'm done with all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it was neat. And also, different, interesting mindset for me to be traveling out of town to a show that I was not performing in at all. Like, well, I had nothing to do. Like, yeah, I mean, I was working the camera, but that was nothing. It had nothing to do with anything. It was interesting. I kept feeling like that kind of like, sensation you get where you're like, all right, you walk in the club, you know, you're cool, you're just like, all right, well, I'm gonna be performing a little bit, you know, you're kind of on a little, ready to be on, and already kind of on. But I was like, oh wait, I'm not performing. Kind of cool, but also kind of like, I mean, if anybody needs me to jump up and do something, I'm ready, is all I'm saying, you know. I was like half cocked, like kind of like a half chub or something going on for performing, so I'm always ready at all times. That's what I'm saying. So yes, great week with that. We actually got back like to Houston at 2 a.m. Not bad at all. It's kind of just like being out for the night, except it was all day. So it went well, and it was good. And on that drive is where I actually thought also a lot about what I was going to do for this episode and 100 episodes and just all that kind of stuff. And what is this all about? What is this life for, man? So I did a lot of thinking, and I'm happy with the way it's turned out. I'm gonna go ahead and get into our tarot reading for the day, as it is also quite pertinent to this 100th episode. As you know or may not know, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself before every show, 100 times, and I just kind of write down what I'm thinking about, what I'm focusing on, and apply that to what the cards mean and the interpretation I get through them, and kind of changes my perception and opens my mind to think about things a little bit. And I like it a lot. So here we go. So today I was thinking, while I was shuffling up the cards, you know, the thoughts on my mind were, you know, continued growth through learning. I wrote down consistent quality output and continued success long term, and not living in the results. I heard that from somebody earlier this week, and I was like, man, that's really good. Like, don't live in the results, i.e. don't live in the reviews or the numbers or the likes or the whatever. Don't live in those results. Appreciate the creation of what you've done and that you were able to do it. And that's all, like, that's what you need to take stock in, not what the results are. That's just not how, and if you live in there, it's very it can be a slippery slope of bad thoughts and just weirdness, anger, all kinds of feelings you don't need to do to live in, if you're trying to just live in the results all the time. Very eye-opening. We're just like, so something so simple to somebody to say and be like, oh yeah, you're fucking right, man. Anyway, so don't live in the results, continue success. First card I draw is Six of Pentacles. So Six of Pentacles is a card of giving and receiving. The card shows a man standing, he's a wealthy man dressed as such, and he is giving coins to some beggars that are kneeling down, you know, begging for money, and he's giving them money. So it's a card of giving, but also it's a card of giving and receiving, so that the balance. But okay, I'm sorry. Fuck. It's a card of giving, but also it's a card of receiving, like a back and forth flow. But you have to keep in mind that this balance can change at any time, without notice. This card says you give generously, not always in a financial sense, but you offer up time, energy, love, support, and the intangible quality of your presence. Now that can come off sounding like, well, just me being here should be all the you know, whatever, that kind of thing. Like, it's not like that though. It's not supposed to be read like that. I read it like there's, everybody I think can relate to this, and knowing that there's a person or certain people that you know that as soon as you come in contact with them, or they show up somewhere that you are, or you happen to show up somewhere that they are, that you instantly feel good. Like, they make you happy. Like, you can't help but not be happy when you're in that person's presence, right? So that's kind of like, you flip that around, that person is like, maybe without even knowing, like, the fact that they're giving, like, you're able to, they're not giving you their presence, but the fact that it gives you such joy and happiness is something they're sharing with you, whether they know it or not. That's a good way to put it. Whether they understand the util that you're getting out of it or not, they're still giving it to you. It's still a generous thing. And that's just, I say that because that's something I would like to strive for. I would like to be somebody who's giving always without even realizing it, because it's not something that I'm like, oh, I'm better be giving today. You know, it should just be a second nature thing you don't really think about. and like, I don't have a lot of money. It's not like I can go around giving my friends, like, here's a loan, buddy, you know, pay me back on Tuesday. But I mean, what I do is my best to buy all the books that I can, like when they come out, especially friends and peers of mine who I appreciate their work, I want to support it, you know, so I'll do what I can. You know, I can't buy every book all the time when it comes out, but it's that kind of thing. It's even like sharing stuff about somebody, sharing their book, even as much as like tipping extra. I think that's a great way to give and put out like a good vibe. I mean, what this is, this card is all about like a golden rule type situation, right? It's like a give and take, keeping that in balance. You know, I don't need to go through all my notes to get to the end of that. This is what I'm saying is like, it's about keeping that balance. And if you put out there what you can give of yourself, you know, if you're giving of yourself selflessly and just because it's the right thing to do, or because you care, you know, you want to help the people you love or care about with whatever resources you have to give them, even if it is just you being around them for a little while, spending time with them, that comes back. That, I mean, I'm sorry if you don't, you know, you think that that's some kind of made up, well, I guess, and I know it's in the Bible, the golden rule, do unto others, but it's, that's something that is a very, that holds true. What you do to other people is what comes back. And if you expect something else, it seems foolish to me. I don't know. That's just my perspective. But basically, this card, it's about a give and take. It's about keeping that balance. It's about giving of yourself when you can, of what you can. And when it needs to, and when you need it, it'll come back. You know, that stuff will come back around. It will definitely feed back into you and be a good thing. Let's see. One thing about this card, though, it warns, if you happen to be the one accepting charity, whether it be in any form, be aware of moving yourself. Be aware that you're working towards self-sufficiency, because it's very easy to become kind of just reliant and submissive, you know, or, you know, come off desperate because you're just relying on this. You've used this as like your eternal fix, and it's just supposed to help you get to where you need to go. And so just, that's something to be aware of. Don't lean on it too hard. Make sure whatever you're doing, you're moving towards self-sufficiency in whatever realm, I guess, you're getting that. So, yeah. That's that one. Next card I get, another pentacle. Eight of pentacles. I like this card. I've gotten it before in one of my, like off-air solo readings or whatever that I've done. This is a card, this is a guy is down there, man, and he's, like, just working hard. He's face down, creating these pentacle coins, making them the best he can be. And this is a card of apprenticeship and mastery. You're working hard to improve your skills and to become a master of your craft. You have rearranged your schedule and other activities in order to dedicate the necessary time to your craft. And I look at that, I'm like, well, that's the steps that I've done. You know, you go all the way back to like 3.5 years ago or whatever, when I quit Starbucks to come to work, you know, take a job at Malk, where I would have less responsibility and more time so I could focus that on my writing. And then, you know, throughout that time, and now I've stepped back even more to where I have a reduced schedule there. And, you know, my time before now and right after that is all dedicated towards my craft of writing. Like, you know, so that kind of hit me. I was like, whoa, that's what I'm doing. And like I said, it's literally like just those little changes have happened over 3.5 years, not to mention the amount of time over 10 years at Starbucks, or 10 years as a manager at Starbucks, 15 years at Starbucks, that I had to like change and rearrange and make just like work when I could, or, you know, do writing when I could fit it in. And it wasn't as consistent as I wanted to be until I made it consistent up and, you know, through those years to this. So it's a long ass process, but it's worth it to be a master of your craft. But I guess I'm just trying to say it's not an overnight thing. You know, it's different for everybody, and it would be that was just my path. So far, still on it. Through unwavering attention and perseverance, you create success. Now, by that, it means that applies to what I was saying about this podcast by, you know, and just apply it to me, just writing in general. You know, if you dedicated to what you're doing, you stick with it, you work hard at it, this is what this is saying, you're becoming a master at it, you don't allow the failures along the way or the challenges to derail you or make you quit, you learn from them, you keep going, you will create success within what you're doing. Now, what that success looks like, what the amount of that success is according to you or others is, that's not for me to say or guess, but it will happen. You just can't quit. You know, you can't quit. If you're dedicated to it, you have to persevere. That's all I can say. You are unswayed by the amount. Okay, unswayed by the amount of time and work required to master your skill, knowing that it won't happen overnight. Kind of like what I just said. So it's like knowing that these challenges lie ahead, and it's going to take a shit lot of time to do this. You're putting it in. You're putting in the time. Even if you're like, man, I'm looking at least 10 years down the road before I see a significant move. Well, that's what it is then. It is what it is. If it's what you want to do, you will not stop. And this is like, there's lots of challenges. I'm not going to go down that road. Keep going. You will eventually reach your success. Another note I wrote on this, if you avoid resistance, I talk about resistance all the time. This is about, you know, you'll reach your success if you keep going and you avoid resistance, distractions, making the choice to work rather than play. And I worded it like that because, and I mean, play, like as I say all the time, in any form, resistance in any form, whether it is play, if you want to say like, oh, I'm going to sit around and play video games, or I'm going to sit around and drink beer with my buddies all afternoon instead of the writing I'm supposed to do when I get home, those are the distractions, that's the resistance. And if you're making consistent choices to avoid that resistance, I mean, that's what it takes to master your craft. That's what it takes to make 100 episodes. That's what it takes to put 10 books out. That's what it takes to whatever your goal is, whatever you're working towards, whatever you've accomplished so far. It's just, that's what it seems to take in my experience. Last card I got. Jeez. Here we go. Our good friend, the devil. So I've gotten the devil card a lot, and it can mean a lot of different things within different contexts. But you know, the devil represents your shadow self or the negative forces that hold you back from being your best, i.e. forms of resistance. I put like the things that are holding you back from keeping, you know, your work schedule, from making the choices that lead to your higher self or whatever, your main goal. That's what the devil is. That's this resistance. That's those bad choices that keep you from your path. Which this is saying, with the devil, when you're running with the devil, ow, you are taking the path of least resistance. You're choosing the path of instant gratification over the path of long-term success. You're tricked into thinking you have no control over the negative forces that are upon you. You know deep down this goes against what you know to be right. You do acknowledge the hold these things have on you, which are the negative vices or bad decisions or whatever, and you have to acknowledge them to begin to combat them. Now, okay, so that was a long little bit of stuff, but it's kind of like, it's a call out. This card is like a, hey dude, check yourself type thing, I think. The last thing I wrote about this is the card represents a negative influences into your consciousness. This card brings negative influences into your conscious awareness so that you can shine a light on them and take action, i.e. admit, like, say like, okay, I need to deal with that. And this is like, for me, it's kind of like, hey dude, stay heads up, don't start making these decisions. It's easy. It becomes easier. And I wrote just a note to myself here. Be aware of this while on the road, because it becomes very easy to, fuck it, I'm doing whatever on the road. Very easy. And it doesn't take many of those fuck it whatevers to become a giant fuck it whatever. And before you know it, you're so far off where you started, you can't see the path anymore. And that doesn't happen to me. I'm not saying that's happened to me or is going to happen or I'm in danger of that. I'm just saying I'm aware of these things so that I don't, so that it does not happen. You know, I like to party. I like to be crazy. When you're on the road and you're at conventions, it's fun to party and it's fun to be crazy. There's all kind. It can be an insane time if you want it to be. But there are pitfalls to fall into that are just things that I want to make sure I'm aware of. Shine that light on them. Bring them out into my conscious awareness. So this card, you know, as I, you know, week and a half away basically from heading to Chicago and starting a very long, you know, the rest of the year of traveling, it's important to keep these things in mind now so that I am, you know, at least better equipped for them later. I'm not saying that I'm going to be some angel that just recognizes all these things right away, you know, but I am going to try. And at least I have it in my forefront of my mind so that I remember. Now, thank you guys so much. I think that that applied to me a little bit, what I was thinking about the 100th episode and just kind of like what I'm preparing for in the future. I hope you got something out of that. I certainly did. Thank you for listening. Moving on to our story portion of the day, our 100th story. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this, you know, and as the card or as our reading led us through, you know, there's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of unsexy work that goes into this, you know, mastering your craft or being a success. And by that I mean work, it's the work that you can't put out there and make it look cool, you know. Not that it should be, or, you know, there's a right or wrong way to do that. It's just there's unglamorous parts of this, like of mastering any craft, I think, and we all have to go through them. And to get to your higher goal or your higher self, whatever you're trying to reach, and just, you know, and just like anything in doing a podcast, I mean, 100 episodes, you have to, you know, that. I mean, if you follow my Instagram story and stuff, like, you'll see, like, I'll post pictures of the cards when I'm dealing them or the candles here in the library and shit. But, you know, that's just two little glimpses or whatever into me sitting in here. It's not like I'm not taking pictures of the, you know, 2.5 hours of notes I'm taking and whatever I'm setting up and stuff like that. That's not glamorous, you know, and I'm not. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just there's things that you do that kind of suck. But you have to do them to get to the next level. Taking notes and shit at the podcast, that's not something that sucks. I'm not saying that. That was a bad comparison. That was just an example of unsexy work that goes into stuff. You know, I think there's a, you know, just this image of like people who are all of a sudden just like, oh, look at me, I'm a badass whatever, rapper or, you know, guitar player or actor. And people just kind of think that they just walked into it and they have no scope or knowledge of the kind of shit that person did to get to that point, or all the shitty gigs they played to get to that big gig you saw them at that was awesome. So anyway, that's what this story is about. Last week, you know, I told a story about that was about Letters to Voltron and our being banned from a place. This is also about, this is a Letters to Voltron story, about that perseverance, about not giving up in the face of adversity. I'll call this one To There and Back, a rubber gloves story. So over the last couple of weeks, I've told some stories about some band-related stories, being on the road, first road gig, being banned from a club. This is about Letters to Voltron. having, you know, having to make rough decisions and moving forward and not being deterred. But it also has to do with the road. So this was many years ago. If you listen to the episode where I talked about Letters to Voltron getting Scott as a drummer, that was the first we were just this two-piece acoustic funny band, and then we incorporated a drummer so we could kind of work out this sound a little bit more sonically, you know, progressive sounding with still funny, but we just wanted to put all this other stuff in there. So we brought Scott in as a drummer, and we're practicing together for a while. We're doing gigs around town, we're doing stuff, and we're playing, you know, with a lot of our friends at this time in different bands, and one of them being the B Sharps, which, as you know or don't know, currently I play in John Wayne Is Dead. Chris Jett is my drummer and one of my best friends, and he is the drummer. He was the drummer in the B Sharps. So, and they have he and Eddie and Jimmy. They're the B Sharps. Eddie and Chris had a tie to Denton, Texas, which Denton is about 45 minutes to an hour north of Dallas. And it is a college town. University of North Texas is there, and that's a big art school for music and stuff, and other things like that. It's a very quaint little town that's very cool. A lot of great bands come through there. There's a lot of great shit there. I mean, it's a very cool place. I've told a lot of stories about Denton on this podcast, so if you're a new listener, you can go back through and find me, you know, telling stories about it, like See You at the Crossroads, great story about Denton. But anyway, this is before I had been to Denton. I had never been to Denton at this point when the B Sharps were playing, got a gig scheduled there at a place called Rubber Gloves, which is, you know, been there for a long time, staple in Denton, just recently reopened, actually, closed down for a while, but just is reopening soon, I know that. Either way, staple of Denton. Chris talked about it all the time. You know, I heard, you know, good stories about them going to shows there and things like that. So they get this gig and they're like, hey, do you, you know, asking us, Letters to Voltron, if we want to come up there and, you know, and play. And we were like, hell yeah, we do. You know, of course you go through the whole thing. Like, you know, can you do it? Can you do it? Everyone said they could do it. And we're like, yes, we'll do it. Now, it was also on a weird night. I want to say it maybe was a Thursday night. Pretty sure it was a Thursday night, which, you know, is a, can be a party night in a college town. I don't know, but it was a weird night as far as going out of town for like a one-off show, I guess. But needless to say, we didn't care. We were fucking stoked. We wanted to play at this place. We wanted to go up there. So we're practicing, you know, a few weeks leading up to it. We're getting ready, and very, very excited to play. Then we start approaching the week of the show. Now, I want to say at our rehearsal that we had maybe 2 days prior, Scott brings up, like, kind of like casually brings up I told my boss that I was, you know, gonna need to leave early that day, and, you know, and come in late the next day, because our plan was, you know, we'll come home, whatever we had to do to get up there. And I think he's like, maybe he was having trouble getting the Friday off or something. He's like, I might have to go work like a half day on Friday if we leave early in the morning or something, but should be cool. Should be, you know, he leaves us with the should be cool. Well, we start, you know, we get to the day of the show, Thursday. Now, we've all agreed to meet at my house at a certain time, because that's where we practice. We need to load up all our stuff, and we need to get on the road. It is a five-hour trip to Denton, and it can be longer if you hit Dallas at the wrong time and have to sit through traffic to get all the way through the goddamn city to the other side and further to get to Denton. So we definitely didn't want to be late. We definitely didn't want to be rushed, so I think we were trying to leave around 3, I believe, is when we wanted to leave. Yeah, 3. So I'm at work. I'm working at Starbucks at the time. You know, Robbie C. He's doing his computer IT stuff. he gets the day off, or he's work, you know, he's all set. I'm working, but I get off at 1, so it's all good. And I, at work in the morning, I start getting like some texts from Scott saying like, hey man, I'm gonna have to meet you guys at 4 rather than 3. And I was like, ah shit, all right man, but you'll be there at 4, can you try to be there before? No, I'll try, but it's gonna have to be 4. I'm like, okay, tell that to Robert. All right, we adjust our schedule, we're fine. And then he's like, man, he gets back to us, it might be closer to 5, man. He doesn't want me to leave until I finish this fucking whatever he was doing. I was like, what are you talking about, Death? Didn't you tell him we had this gig? I thought everything was gonna be cool. And it was just kind of a back and forth about like his boss not letting him leave and not being able to get the time off, and we were having a really hard time coming to like grips with that, because this was planned for weeks. Like we had all this time, made sure our schedules were set, and now like hours before we're supposed to leave, this, you know, you're telling us you're going to be later and later and later. And I was like, all right, fine man, what we'll do is Robert and I will be at my house, we will pack everything, it'll be in the van ready to go. Soon as you pull up, you can just jump in and we will fucking hightail it up there, and we'll be able to make it by, you know, whatever, before we play. And he's like, all right, that's cool. So that's where we left it. I get off work, Robert meets me at the place, Robbie C, we put everything, we pack all to Scott's drums, all of our shit, and we're waiting. And now we don't hear from Scott. We haven't heard from him in a while. So we're texting him. We're not getting anything back. We're calling him. We're not getting anything back. It's getting later and later. At this point, we don't know what the hell is going on, but we have to make a decision. Because if we wait for Scott much longer, there's not going to be any point in us driving up there, because we won't make the show. We won't make our time. But if we do that, if we're not going to do that, we have to contact, we have to cancel, we have to do something. And like, man, we're like, dude, hours before, I mean, day of, like, we want to do this. Do we want to really cancel this out of town show at this place we want to play? We want to play again, this legendary place in Denton to play. And we basically decided, you know what? We're gonna take a step back into the old school. We couldn't depend on, we didn't know what the hell was going on with Scott. But Robbie and I decided, you know what, we're just gonna step back and do a two-man show again. So we grabbed our acoustic guitars, threw those in too, and just started driving, because we hadn't heard from Scott, and we were like, you know, if he does get in touch with us, and you know, he's just gonna have to drive up behind us in his car, whatever. We have to leave now. We have all his gear. We didn't end up hearing from Scott till hours and hours later, of course, after it would have been much, much way past the time of him being able to get to the gig. And, you know, it was hard to understand, but I'm not shit-talking Scott. Scott, if you're listening, I'm not shit-talking you, because, you know, sometimes your jobs are just fucked and you can't get out of them. And maybe he did communicate and the boss was just like, no, now you're not leaving, or what. I don't know what it was, the main thing. But our decision was quit or persevere. And we chose to persevere. Got in the car, got our shit. We haven't rehearsed this, a two-man show in, fuck, like almost a year. You know, we've been doing this three-man thing for all this time. So we drive up there, and I'm like hauling ass. I'm trying so hard to get there faster than we need to. You know, we get through Dallas easily. There's no traffic because it's late, but then it's just taking us forever. You're trying to get somewhere fast. You just can't get there fast enough. You know, it seemed like Denton kept getting further and further away. We get there. It's probably close to 10, 30 maybe, I don't know. The B-sharps were just finishing as we walked in. They're on their second to last song. And we were supposed to, oh, that was it. That's also something that happened. We were supposed to play first, okay? Then the B-sharps, then this other band that was like, I can't remember what they were called, but they were like a bigger, more popular band. So it's because this all got fucked up, the B-sharps went on first because we were running so late. Then that other band went on after them, and now we were going to have to go on last. So the other band actually had people there, and as soon as they were done, all the people left. And Robert and I set up our guitars, and we played our fucking little two-man acoustic set hearts out to a big, empty room with the sound guy at the back, Chris Jett at the front. I think Eddie and Jimmy wandered in a couple of times. I think they were doing something else. And the singer for the other band came in and watched us too. But that was it. And, you know, we drove 5 hours to play. Our set was significantly cut short also because we were late. We played for 25 minutes to essentially nobody. And packed it all back up into our car and drove right back down to Houston. And that kind of reminded me of what, you know, Nick and I, that's why I thought of that, because of Nick and I taking that trip to New Orleans. And while it's different from what Robert and I did, it's still the same. Because, you know, I went on, like, to play at Rubber Gloves several other times with John Wayne Is Dead. I don't know if Letters of Ultron ever got back up there to play after that, because we had made a departure from Scott after that incident. And it was just like, man, it's not going to work. It wasn't like anything personal, but it's like, if you can't get off for gigs that are booked well in advance, then you can't be in the band. So we moved on, and that was hard, but necessary. And we got the sauce out of it. We ended up finding the sauce. Marty, God love him, he put the sauce on us, and Letters of Ultron became what we wanted it to become after we got sauce in it. No offense to Scott, we needed that to get to the next part, you know. But if we wouldn't have gone through all that, we wouldn't have gotten to where we needed to be essentially as a band. That one little incident of driving up and back and Denton thing, that wasn't what we needed to get through. That's one little element of it. That's one little piece that builds up on it. And the same thing with like what Nick and I did yesterday. You know, that's Nick's job. That's Nick's gig. He doesn't work for anybody but himself. So while it may be a pain in the ass to do 12 hours of driving for essentially an hour and a half of work, it sounds crazy. It may sound not worth it to a lot of people, but it is when you're doing it. I mean, if you're trying to achieve that goal, you're trying to master that skill, whatever it is, reach your higher goal, higher self, however you want to put it, you're going to have to drive back and forth 12 hours sometimes. You're going to have to sleep in your car in the Walmart parking lot sometimes. You're going to have to do those little shitty things that nobody sees and nobody knows about, in order to get to do the things that people do see and they care about when they become what they're supposed to be. I hope that makes sense. So yeah, so we did that show. We thought it was fine. We drove home, you know, talking to each other about what we were going to do moving forward, but also we were like happy we did it. We did not regret driving up there. We did not regret the fact that we had to play a reduced set with material we haven't rehearsed in a long time. You know, we did it and we fucking ripped it, because that's what we do. And that's what I will continue to do. Just as work similar to that has led me to 100 episodes, you know, it's led me to now 10 published books, 10 books that are, you know, on the dock, 2 that are coming out, 8 that are out now. It's all that little stuff, and it's all that driving back and forth, and it's all that not getting paid, and it's all that playing to nobody. It's all that, all of those things that come together that show to yourself, to the universe, I guess, that this is your dedication. I'm dedicated to this. I don't give a shit. If I was not dedicated, I'm not driving 6 hours to something I don't give a shit about. For nothing. For no instant payoff, you know? That's just part of it, man. That's a big part of it. And I'm still going through those kind of things. I'm by no means like some Johnny fucking mastery of his, you know, domain or anything like that. But man, I'm trying. I'm working, I'm putting it in, and I'm noticing these things. And these are the things that build up to it. These are the things that seem to be necessary. At least I'm just speaking from my experience. I'm not trying to sound like I'm anybody or anything. But that was it. And Letters to Voltron did go on to become the band we wanted it to become. And we played a lot of road shows after that. And, you know, couldn't have gotten there without that. So I think I've said that enough times. You know, I will say, you know, after all this, the one thing I do regret the loss of is Scott the Band. And I hope that Scott the Band may forever rest in power. All right, there you go. Boom! A Rubber Gloves adventure with Letters of Ultron getting through the shit. 100 episodes. Thank you all so much. Those of you who have listened even since number one all the way to this, it's amazing. People who have joined recently, you know, people that I've met at conventions and stuff who have subscribed, thank you so much. Please tell your friends, share it around, subscribe on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck you call it now, Stitcher or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. It should be available out there on everything. Go to johnwayneisdead.com so you can check out all of the stuff I have coming up. On the shows page is going to have all the dates for conventions that I have coming up starting the June 7th and 8th. And I'll be in Chicago from the 5th to the 10th for Printer's Row Lit Fest. And then from there on, we just keep on going, folks. So check out my schedule. Also, go to the shop page on johnwayneisdead.com. You can get all any of my books. They're all available for the time being. That inventory may shift here in a couple weeks. I'll keep it updated. But when you order any books of mine from the website, you know I will personalize them. I will send you some extra goodies, as well as anything else you order. The new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record, our 7-inch records, shirts, zines, there's all kinds of stuff on there, and I will definitely take care of you. All of my books are also available on Amazon or Kindle, if that's easier, or how you like to consume it. All of it helps. It all helps me. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. June 15th, my book Sinkhole comes out from Death's Head Press. More information on that when I get it. And also, this announcement just sent the contract back in. I have a book called The Cycle, which will be released on Grindhouse Press sometime in 2020, and I will keep you posted on that. It is about witches. I'm very happy with this book, and I hope you will be too. And I'm very happy to have it released with Grindhouse once again. It's quite an honor to me, and I appreciate it very much. And I also appreciate you all very much. Thank you once again. Follow me on Instagram at John Wayne is Dead and Twitter at John Wayne is Dead, or on Facebook, John Wayne Communale, my name. And I thank you again for 100 episodes, and I hope for 100 more, and I'll see you guys then. And I'll also see you like next week for 101, but you know what I mean. We'll all still be together then at 200, right? You wouldn't go out for cigarettes and not come back, Papa?